This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Let's get the latest from the Buffalo Bills and their joint practices at Wofford. Carolina Panthers covering the Bills for ESPN.com. We love talking to one of our regulars, Marcel Louis Jacques, on the phone with us. Hey, Marcel, how are you?
Oh. Once again.
Hey, buddy. I'm sorry. We had you cut off there at the beginning. Marcel, how are you?
I'm great, man. Take two.
Yeah.
But, I'm happy to be on, man.
False start on Danger. Marcel, is there anything, set us straight here, I mean, I'm sure you went down the rabbit hole to all these internet rumors today, Jadeveon Clowney to the Bills, what's real, what isn't, what if anything can you share on all this stuff?
Yeah, this was something, a storyline that intrigued me a couple weeks ago, and I reached out to a source who let me know that it's not going to happen. Obviously things changed, but as of that time a couple weeks ago, there was not going to be a trade. I still wouldn't expect a trade at this point either. I think Benjamin Albright came out and said that the Bills were one of a half dozen teams interested. I just want everybody listening and everybody concerned about this to understand there is a vast difference between reality and interest. I am interested in Bill Gates giving me $100 million. It does not mean it's mutual. So interest does not mean things are going to happen. I would try to ignore podcasts or unverified reports. I know they're just kind of, it's just that time of the off season. People like to stir the pot a bit, but I believe it's coming from the same person that said Michael Crabtree was coming to Buffalo a couple weeks ago as well. So just kind of take these things with a grain of salt, but wouldn't hold your breath for Jadeveon Clowney. He's coming with some injury concern. He's coming with a major salary cap hit, somewhere around that $20 million range. The Bills right now are more focused on not just developing this year, but then bringing back and retaining some of their core pieces. You've got Tre'Davious White is going to be in line for a new contract. Matt Milano as well. Deion Dawkins as well. There are things that they need to take care of in-house before they bring in a kind of a polarizing piece like that.
Marcel, what about for any other team that might be interested in the services of Jadeveon Clowney? I mean, to me, this is a deal that for Houston to pull off, it would be a complicated thing for a team to get him. And for what? For basically 1 year, correct?
I mean, more or less, yeah. That's you got to wonder how much is the team really willing to pay. You're not going to just trade a first-round pick for Jadeveon Clowney, not with his injury history. His production has been great, but how much are you willing to mortgage your future and for, a guy who puts up numbers when he's healthy, but is often not healthy. So I think it's probably more of a stay away kind of situation, unless you are a Super Bowl contender and you have you've got the capital to spare and you really just need that one final piece to your defense, then okay, sure, take a flyer. But if you're a team that's still developing and that's still trying to reach that next level, this would feel like more of a shortcut than what we've seen from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. They've done it kind of not the long way, but, they've built from within. And like I said, that just kind of feels like, they would try to short jump the process. But I don't speak for the organization, so who knows, in 24 hours I could be, this could be the coldest take on the internet. But for right now, yeah, don't hold your breath.
Marcel Louis Jacques, ESPN.com Buffalo Bills reporter, joining us since we last spoke on Wednesday. The Bills, well, they made a bunch of moves, but one kind of jumping out. What did you think of Captain Marlin coming in? Is this somebody, Marcel, that you give a realistic chance here to make the 53?
Yeah, I do it because, like Brandon Bean told me last week, this is the part of the preseason where they really need to start. They need to start thinking about that 53-man roster. This isn't just, you know, bringing guys in on a flyer, bringing guys in to develop. They need guys who are going to contribute. And Captain Munnerlyn, he was part of. I covered him in Carolina last year, and when he was cut or waived in February, it was part of this. This movement for the team, this trying to get younger, trying to get faster on defense, and it just a complete facelift, and he was part of that. I don't think he's washed up, though. Obviously, he had his highs, he had his lows last year, but he's only 31 years old. It's not like he's completely decrepit. I think Munnerlyn can still play from a mental standpoint. If he's used situationally, I think he can have a major impact. He was in a situation in Carolina where they didn't really have another nickelback. He was the guy. So even if he struggled against certain receivers, there wasn't really much option. There wasn't really much other option on roster. But that's not the case here with Teron Johnson, with Saran Neal. Captain can play more, but like I said, situational role and more of a mentorship and leadership role. He knows the defense. He even said after that first day, while he wasn't taking reps on the field, we saw him on the sideline. But to himself, he's saying, wow, like except for a couple checks, a couple different, you know, terminology, you know, I know this entire playbook already. I know everything here it's like riding a bike. So, no, I think he's got a very realistic chance unless he just can't get into shape or he just completely lost it over the course of a couple months. I don't think it's fair to write him off as just a camp body.
Marcel, I want to take it back to the offensive line and shine the spotlight back on them with Morse still out. And you know, I would say that if we maybe see him, it would be that week 3 preseason game. Hopefully that's when we see Mitch Morse make his debut in the preseason for the Buffalo Bills. And today with Nsekhe out, the offensive line again shuffled up on the right side with Cody Ford moving back to right tackle. Spencer Long sliding into right guard with Feliciano as center. I'm going to take a contrarian view here. I know that a lot of people want to see Mitch Morse and wonder what that's going to look like, and getting him in there helps you with cohesion. But him not being there, and today Nsekhe not being there, if anything, the Bills are really going to get a lot of time to analyze and evaluate each of these players in a variety of different positions. And that, at this time of year, is still a good thing, right?
Yeah, this is what this time of year is for. It's for that to both build cohesion, build chemistry, and to evaluate what you've got in-house and evaluate your talent, your depth. I think going or having that joint practice with a team like the Panthers it will do wonders for them. I know there's a lot of, depending on who you follow, you might see a lot of reports that the Panthers' D-line has been having its way with Buffalo's offensive line. And whether or not that's actually the case, collectively, that's a unit that features a lot of speed, some Pro Bowl talent. It's a great test for a rebuilding offensive line. So whether they're successful or not, that's not really the point here. The point is just getting that kind of look against such a talented front seven. And I think that'll do wonders moving forward. But yeah, injuries are never great. You'd rather them happen in the preseason than the regular season. But it's starting to get to a point where it's kind of a concern that you haven't had much time with your best five offensive linemen on the field at the same time. I think Mitch Morse suiting up yesterday, I think that signals a great change. I can't imagine that he plays more than maybe a drive or two in that third preseason game, if at all. But I think that that is a positive sign moving forward that he's progressing through the protocol.
Sticking with going back to the Bills-Panthers pipeline, when we heard the Munnerlyn news, we talked about, oh, there's another guy, and you could hear the sarcasm, and I kind of wondered out loud if the Bills right now do this more than other regimes. In other words, well, yes, everybody comes from somewhere, but do the Bills do this more, dipping to Carolina, and then voila, you have a piece up regarding this. So I just ask you the question, Marcel, having covered the league, do the Buffalo Bills, their management, go to the Carolina well here more than other organizations going back to their prior employers?
I'd be interested in seeing the hard data, but based on my gut, I'm saying no. I think that it's just more relevant because these are the teams that you're paying close attention to. And you don't know some of the role players that play for. Like, you wouldn't really know, most fans out here wouldn't know if the Niners and Seahawks have been trading depth pieces back and forth through free agency. You're just not paying attention. I don't think it's an uncommon practice simply because the familiarity between the two. Like, you're looking for guys. It's not like nepotism or favoritism. It's just, hey, we need somebody who knows this thing right now. We don't have time to bring somebody completely up to speed. Like, that's why I wrote the piece, because, you know, like I said, it's everybody's favorite joke, and it is, the organizations even realize it. There's a whole section in the Bills Media Guide this week called Panthers North, and it's got all the relationships between the teams and the players that have gone back and forth. But there is a reason why this happens, and that's what I hope the piece explained, that story explained, that there's kind of a method to this wackiness.
And it's funny, Marcel. I mean, the Panthers wouldn't be the Panthers had they not raided the Bills' cupboard when they became a franchise with Polian and Reich and Metzelaars and everybody that they had from Buffalo that basically were the foundation of their first few seasons in the NFL. It does. It comes down to time. I mean, every minute of every day for these guys is scripted. The last thing they have time for is trying to teach somebody from the outside how they speak, how they go about their business, and what systems they run.
Exactly. That's why I said it, man. It used to be Bill South, Buffalo South, whatever you want to call it. It was completely the other way around, and it's gone back and forth over the past couple decades. But being told me, they've been bringing these young guys and the new guys on the team, they've been bringing them up to speed and teaching them this system since the spring. Since, you know, OTAs and rookie camp and so on and so forth. The season starts in less than a month. They don't have that kind of time anymore. Like, by that timeline, they can't afford to have a depth piece come in and not fully grasp the system until mid-September or October. So, no, like I said, it makes sense why, but, you know, it's the internet and everybody's got to get the jokes off.
Marcel Louis-Jacques joining us here in the Sports Bar. Marcel, Danger had an interesting prediction that Leslie Frazier will be a head coach next year. Look, if this Bills defense is great and you have a head coach, former head coach in Leslie Frazier, who I'm not sure what happened up in Minnesota, but what are your thoughts on the defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, and is Danger on to something here?
The head coaches in the NFL tend to cycle. So if you've been a coach once and you've seen some moniker of success, you'll probably be a coach again. Or in Adam Gase's case, even if you haven't really
right.
success, you'll probably be a coach again.
Right.
So I wouldn't be shocked. You know, I don't think it's so outlandish to say. I do think that there is inexplicable value in having a former head coach as your coordinator, a guy who's shown and proven that he can handle every aspect of the team and overseeing every aspect of the team, and telling him, hey, we just want you to hyper-focus on one side of the ball. That's why you see success like this, especially when you pair him with a guy like Sean McDermott, who was a standout defensive coordinator himself. But no, I wouldn't be shocked. And then I also, if I'm a Bills fan, I wouldn't think it's the end of the world. I'd be happy for Leslie Frazier if he got a head coaching opportunity, if that's what he wants to do. But I think as long as the core players are in place and McDermott's at the head, I wouldn't expect some drastic drop or drastic decline of production on that side of the ball.
Marcel, Friday night, we expect to see a little bit more of the offense, a little bit more of the first team on defense. What specifically are you going to be paying attention to when the Bills and the Panthers square off?
I'm curious how this receiver battle beyond the top three is going. I think really even beyond the top two, behind Beasley and Brown, because it feels like Zay Jones, Isaiah McKenzie, Ray McLeod, Andre Roberts, Robert Foster, they've all rotated in as that third receiver over the past couple weeks. And Carolina's secondary is significantly stronger than Indianapolis's. If they are playing deeper into the game than Indy kept its starters in, then I think it'll be a great test for them. Be, like I said before, another great test for this offensive line. You're going to see a 3-4. You're going to see a lot of blitzing. You're going to see a lot of attacking and a lot of speed. So how these guys handle it should say a lot more about the status of this offensive line than the Colts game did. And defensively, these receivers are nothing to scoff at. And I think Bills fans are kind of seeing that through all the reports of these joint practices, that DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel right now probably form the most under-talked about, under-hyped receiving duo in the league that should receive a lot more attention. These guys are lightning quick, good hands, good route runners, and if they get the ball in space, then you've got to break down, you've got to wrap up, because they can break tackles and they can take it to the house. Same goes with Christian McCaffrey as well. This is not a fun matchup for any defense, but if you want to solidify yourself as a top five unit, then you've got to be able to show up in games like this, even in the preseason. So I think that's a great, this Panther offense versus the Bills defense is really something worth watching.
I'm curious to see LeSean McCoy, who we did not see preseason game number one, and what they told us a few weeks ago, Marcel, as you know, this should be the game where we see a few carries. So just where are we at with LeSean McCoy? Because I'm having trouble telling anybody this is going to be a renaissance year for Shady, or yeah, this is the beginning to the end. So where do you come on down on that? I'm sure we're going to learn a lot coming up Friday night.
I think we will. I wouldn't put a whole bunch of stock into it, but I would like to see him get a couple of drives. I'd like to see him show some of that burst, some of that elusiveness that we've seen in the past. And I really want to see more of Devin Singletary. And I think that Bills fans should be excited to see him get a lot more run. Last week, I think it was somewhere around 47, 48 total combined yards on, you know, really limited action. We saw a lot more Sonoris Perry, Marcus Murphy, and Christian Wade and TJ Yeldon than we did the first three guys in the room, the first three guys on the depth chart. So I would look to see if they expand Singletary's role, because what he's doing in practice and how they're using him in practice has all the makings of a really exciting role in this offense. And, you know, we see it a lot. We've seen it a lot through the past few weeks. I'm excited for fans to be able to see that as well.
Marcel, you're gracious with your time as always. Let our listeners know what you're working on for ESPN.com here coming up leading up to Friday.
All right, babe. Like I've been for the past couple of weeks, I've got some great features coming up. Especially one for week one. Don't want to give too much away. I can just tell you it was one of those, writers will know what I'm talking about. It was one of those stories where, as I'm listening to the interviews, my heart starts racing because of all the directions that the story can go in. And so just look out for that in week one. I think it's something y'all will really appreciate. Until then, see me on Twitter at Marcel_LJ. I'm sure I'll have posts, I'll have stories in the meantime. But I'm really excited to get y'all that piece for week one.
Marcel, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you before then. Marcel, thanks so much for your time today.
Hey, as always, y'all, thanks for having me on.
You got it. Marcel Louis-Jacques. Man, great reaction to Marcel Louis-Jacques. Chris tweeting us at ESPN Rochester. I loved Mike Rodak, but Marcel Louis-Jacques is a legit replacement.
Yeah, forward thinking.
For real.
Yeah, he's when he's on, you're not getting out of the car if you like the Buffalo Bills. Like, he's going to tell you things you don't know. He's, yeah, great addition.
I know that we joke about this, but how long before we have, how much longer do we have a guy, a talent like Marcel Louis-Jacques covering this team?
Well, what I tell everybody is, like, he came from Carolina to Buffalo. I would think he's so good, like, 5-10 years from now, yeah, he'll be reporting on a national level. Just
good,
my prediction.
Good stuff from Marcel Louis-Jacques. If you came in late, We'll get it for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com. Also, the radio.com app. Search out the sports bar, and all of our on-demand audio is listed for you right there. All right, NFL appetizers on the way next. We go around the NFL and serve today's top stories in bite-sized form. It's brought to you by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Hey, there's a former Buffalo Bill that was arrested. You know the name here, and it's certainly... yeah, not a fun story to talk about. We'll pass this along. The NFL has hired Jay-Z. Not everybody happy about this. An update from Miami and Seattle as well.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.